Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
What's the missing piece for each Houston team to actually go and win a title? We'll talk about it here on Area 45. The fellas, they're done for the day. They filled in earlier on the drive. So here we are, Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee with you this evening. Yep. 713-572-4610 on the text line to get in touch with the show. You can also message us on YouTube and Twitch as well. We'll engage with you on those platforms and those streams. Astros swept the Phillies today, finishing off a big-time series at home with the 2-1 victory today. We'll continue to talk about that throughout the evening. I like the 346 saying, because I'm on the air tonight, that means the Astros are going to win again tomorrow. I don't know that.
Or are you the link to that?
Apparently.
Are you the good luck charm for the Astros?
I guess so. I'll take credit for it.
Got to get Luke on every day then.
You're welcome, Astro fans. Yeah, you want to win a World Series?
Have Luke on the radio.
Write letters to the boss.
Yeah. Get a campaign going.
That's right. That's the campaign.
Get a campaign started.
Yeah, one time we tried a campaign to get De'Aaron Fox here. Yeah, it seemed like it.
It did get ground, though. It grew legs, yeah. And people started talking about
it. That's right.
So maybe we'll do the same again.
Yep. I'm going to tell my grandkids one day about the movement we started.
Right?
We got him to Texas, at least.
He did come to Texas. I told people, hey, he was close. Mileage-wise, he was very close.
Yeah.
A lot closer than Sacramento.
That's right. Yeah, we got him most of the way here. Sorry, we can't do everything for you.
We can't do it all, man. We needed a little bit of help from the Rockets to actually get him all the way here.
Yeah.
But hey, consolation prize, you got Kevin Durant.
Not bad.
Not bad.
But do the Rockets need anything else in order to go win a championship? So here is country music star. I'm sure you've heard this audio by now, but Parker McCollum was on the Pat McAfee show today. He's not from Houston. I think he's from Austin. He's a Texas guy. But he represents Houston. He's been involved with the Texans and everything, and he's performed at the rodeo here and all sorts of stuff. And he's very high as Houston sports fans. This is a great time for Houston sports fans in this city.
It really is.
And Parker forecasts some celebration parades as well coming up. Here's what the country music star said on the Pat McAfee show this week.
I have a feeling that the Houston Texans and the Houston Rockets and possibly the Houston Astros are all going to have a ring with another ring for the Astros here very soon.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's this season, but I know this football team has the makings of they're so close to being a really, really, really sound competitive football team. And they've been right there the last 2 years. Last year struggled, I think, kind of expected with CJ coming off such a high rookie year and just a record-breaking rookie year, but I think once he settles in, and I think he's going to play like a veteran quarterback, like he did his rookie season, and I don't know who in the world is going to play on the offensive line, but we may be so good that we don't even need one.
That was Parker McCollum, by the way. Yeah, I will correct myself. He's from outside of Houston. His origin is listed as Austin, Texas.
So okay,
but he was born in this area, okay. And he's very high on these Houston teams.
He sounds like it.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. I mean, it's an exciting time. You know, when I was in with Reggie, I don't know, I guess earlier this week, I think it was Monday, and we were talking about never has a city won three titles in the same calendar year. There's been a handful that have done two.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to get crazy and say that Houston's going to win the next three championships. But, boy, you can make a strong case for all three teams. They're certainly all contenders.
But you're saying all three, the basketball, baseball, football team.
Any variation, even throwing hockey.
Even hockey in places where they have.
Three out of four.
Yeah.
Winning a championship
in the same
within
year.
The same 12-month
yeah,
stretch.
Yeah, calendar, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hasn't happened. We've had a bunch that have done two.
Yeah.
But not the three. And, again.
It's hard, man.
Very hard. I'm not saying Houston's going
to
do it.
It's hard for two of them to do it.
But there's not a lot of cities right now where you can feel confident that all three teams have an opportunity.
They're going
to
be like deeply in the mix.
Yeah, which they are. I'm not telling you that maybe none of them are going to reach their championship, but they're in the conversation. But with that said, none of them are the favorites to win. So what's keeping these three teams from potentially becoming champions? We could go back and forth team by team, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Houston Texans. If you could add one thing, what's the missing piece? What would you add or clean up or change that would take the Texans from where they are currently to then being able to take that step to actually winning a Super Bowl in 2025?
I mean, we're probably going to say the same thing, but, you know, we talk about it all the time. if I could just have a magic pill that would automatically fix that offensive line and just make it immaculate, that's what it is for me right now. I think that's the key for the Texans to even get close to making it to the Super Bowl, hell, to the conference championship. Get that offensive line together. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we know there's some other things that are going to go into that. We got to see what Nick Caley's going to do as offensive coordinator and, if you know, get C.J. Stroud back on, I guess, the path we saw him after his rookie year, right? Get him back on that path, yeah. You know, for most people will say that. So, but for me, I'm going offensive line. If there was just something magic, like I snap my fingers mm-hmm. and get that offensive line on track, I think that's what it is.
I'm with you. I would say pick your best offensive lineman out there. If you could put them on the Texans, that'd be huge. But I'm going to go a little more out of the box and mm-hmm. say just clarity. Because this has been my message for the last few weeks, really all offseason, is that I still have a lot of questions. Or I should say, I don't have the answers mm-hmm. to the big questions for the Texans. Mm. What I mean is, yeah, we don't know if the offensive line is going to be any better this year.
We don't know.
We hope. We don't know. We don't know if the offensive coordinator is going to be any better. We hope, but he's never called plays. Bobby Slowick, you felt a lot better about Bobby Slowick this time last year.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Coming off of that previous
right.
season. Yeah, everybody did.
Then you probably do about Nick Caley right now. You can hope and tell yourself all these things, and, oh, I think it's going to be better. But the way we felt, we thought Slowick was this next offensive genius a year ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, it bottomed out. Same thing. You probably felt better a year ago about the offensive line than maybe even you do now the way last season ended. And then the wide receiver is the other one for me where yeah. I think there's just a wide variation. I think there's a high ceiling and a low floor for the wide receivers. Now, I'm being hopeful. I'm being optimistic. But Christian Kirk has had a series of injuries in recent years. And then your next two receivers are two rookies, and they weren't first-round picks. Now, I like the two
second
picks.
Second and third round, respectively. Yeah.
I have high hopes for them. I think they're going to work out.
I think everybody has high hopes and thinks they could work out. But and even if you get one of the two. To yeah. really work out.
That's all you need.
That's a win.
If Kirk stays healthy and you get one of those two, yeah. that's a really good three wide receiver core. But as we know, draft picks are always 50-50 propositions.
We don't know that they're going to be good.
Right.
We know what we have at the top of the wide receiver depth chart.
Yeah, you got
Nico Collins. We know what we have there. But who's going to take that pressure off him? And then you talk about tight end as well.
Yeah. I know.
It's another issue.
Yeah. George Kittle had some interesting audio earlier this week where he was talking about if you look at the Super Bowl champs of the last 10, 15 years, they all have a really good tight end.
And yeah.
Got me thinking, you know, maybe the tight end position has become very undervalued, and the Texans have some questions there, too, at the tight yeah. end position this year.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's kind of a cop-out because it's answering the unanswerable right now. Like, I just need that clarity.
Yeah.
Do we have the right offensive coordinator here? Is this offensive line going to mesh? Are these weapons going to work out? I still just have too many questions to think, yeah, this team can go win a Super Bowl. Now, if all those, best case scenario, all three of those situations, then absolutely. But who knows? We have to wait till they actually.
But I mean, how often do you get best case scenario?
Yeah, right.
Just how often does that happen? I mean, and to be honest with you, I think some people in this city would still be a little skittish even if this first year for Nick Caley was a good one, because we saw what 1 year was like for Bobby Slowick, and then we saw what
happened.
True. Yeah. I think some people would still be skittish off of that.
It's fair. Yeah, we crowned Slowick way too soon. I think a play caller is more important than the offensive line at this point. Like, if you put Kevin O'Connell as the offensive coordinator of the Texans, even with this offensive line, I would say, you know what? He's going to get the most out of that offense.
Yeah.
And they might be able to keep up with the Chiefs in a playoff game or the Ravens in a playoff game.
You might be right.
I am that high on Kevin O'Connell, too. But you know, you can mask some of the shortcomings if you're a good enough play caller.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the hope of Nick Caley. All right, so that's the Texans. Astros. I mean, the Astros are playing great baseball right now. Have one of the best records in the league. What's the missing piece, though? What do the Astros still need to add or maybe even get back in order to legitimately have a shot to win the World Series this year?
I mean, I think most people would tell you they have the pieces. Most of them are on the IL.
Yeah, right.
Let's just be honest. Now, I do think, one, obviously you got to get, I can say, some of the pitching. You want that back, especially for the playoffs. That's really where it's important, is get that pitching back. Starters and bullpen, whoever's out for the playoffs, right? But I think it's going to be really hard for them to continue what they're doing now, or not even continue what they're doing now, to make that deep run, you know, without their best bat, without Yordan.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to – now, of course, we keep hearing that he's almost there, but we've been hearing that for a while now, right? And we know how the Astros are. They're not super transparent when it comes to injuries now, but supposedly it sounds like he'll be back soon. But what is the time frame on soon, though?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Soon could be 2 days. It could be 2 weeks. We don't know. So I think the most important thing is, you know, getting a lot of those guys, especially the pitching, a lot of those pitchers, getting them back in the rotation, back in the bullpen. But definitely when it comes to the offensive side, it's Yordan. It's Yordan. And I would say he's probably the most important at this point.
I'll say in similar fashion, I'll say obviously you need those guys healthy, but I still think you need to add a left-handed bat. Because I know Yordan is that left-handed bat, but even beyond him,
yeah,
he's really the only one. Caratini's a switch hitter. And then now you bring back John Singleton. I mean, that's how desperate they are. They bring back John Singleton as maybe a left-handed bat. They bring up Taylor Trammell because he's a left-handed bat, can play in the outfield. And I love Taylor. Let me bend over and pick up this name. I got his number in my phone. That's my guy. He's the nicest athlete I think I've ever met. Love Taylor Trammell. Taylor, I love you. I know you're listening. Big fan of the show. But he's not. He's a 4A hitter. Great in the minor leagues. Can never cut it in the big leagues. He's not your answer at the left-handed bat. The Astro, it's a lot easier, especially in the playoffs, when they're throwing different arms and you're putting out a different pitcher every inning. It's a lot easier to solve a lineup when you're all righties and they can play those matchups. The Astros are really good against left-handed pitching this year. They just don't face lefties enough because they're so right-handed dominant and there's not enough lefties in the league. So, obviously, yeah, you want Yordan back. You want these pitchers back. Then even beyond that, come trade deadline time.
So is that the move they're making? Like, do you see them going out and making that move?
Yeah, and I don't know who it is yet because I think we're still too early. We still have five more weeks.
Yeah, we're not quite even in July yet. So.
But we know the need. I think it's a left-handed bat to add a little more.
A little more variety.
Variety is a good word.
Yeah,
to add a little more. You could still put Caratini, you get Alvarez, you get a third hitter. Okay, now you have at least three left-handed bats that can do something.
In the lineup, yeah.
Joel says, yep, Yordan, that's the missing piece. Todd says Yordan, Christian Walker, and Yainer Diaz would be nice. Yeah, if all three of those guys could play to the back of their baseball cards, that'd be a big boost for the offense as well. Okay, and then the last team, the Houston Rockets. Obviously, they add Kevin Durant this week. What's the missing piece? If anything, maybe you think the Rockets are perfect now, but what's that missing piece for the Rockets to actually be able to go and win a championship now with Durant?
For some reason, this one seems to be the one that has me the most stuck, because I'm just someone that always feels like you can always get better. But after bringing Durant in, it feels like they're going to keep Fred VanVleet, right? And I believe that Steven Adams is going to be coming back.
Yep.
From what PC told me the other night.
He's back.
It really feels like they have the pieces. Now, obviously, you have to put it together and make that run. But, I mean, maybe another, like you talked about earlier, maybe another, another backup point guard. But, I mean, you know, you got Reese Shepard. He's probably going to get some of that run next year. Still have Aaron Holiday. I don't know if he'll still be there after this offseason. Mm-hmm. But maybe another guard that can handle the ball for, you know, as a backup for Fred VanVleet. He's getting older. We saw last year. We saw this past season that he missed some time with injury. So maybe you get another guy. But I don't know who that guy is going to be that you can bring in as a backup that isn't going to, you know, take up too much cap space or need too much time on want too much time on the floor.
I'm with you on the idea. It's only been not even a week since they got Durant, but I've been saying this throughout that I still think they need another guard. I know everyone loves Reed Shepard. I was never as high on Reed Shepard, but I'll also say for a team that's trying to win a championship, I also don't want him to be learning on the job.
And that's what makes it
in
tough.
In those situations.
That's what makes it tough.
I want a veteran that I can trust to play with or back up Fred VanVleet. I don't want to, if VanVleet's got to come out of the game and you're in a playoff game, I don't want Reed Shepard, who's essentially, I know he played this year, but not that he's going to be like essentially a rookie next year again. and I don't want to have to rely on that. So the name I keep saying is Tyus Jones.
Ooh.
He played with Durant the last 2 years.
Okay.
He's a veteran guard. He's been in the league for a decade. Yeah. We just saw in the playoffs how important ball handling is in the playoffs.
And yes.
The Rockets, I think, still need shooting, and he shot over 40% from beyond the arc the last 2 years.
That is true. They do need more shooting. Obviously, Durant takes care of some of that, but, you know, he can't shoot the ball 60 times a game.
Yeah, they need more.
I guess he could, but he's not going to.
And also, by the way, Tyus Jones was making, I think, only $3 million in Phoenix.
Now,
so
I think
that's
that works.
Cheap addition.
I think that would work.
Yeah,
I think that. But I mean, again, you got to go. You got to go get it done.
Right.
Get it done. And I just don't know if, like you said, Reed Shepard is going to be that. I don't know if Ime Udoka is going to trust him just yet in those positions because he hasn't really been there yet. He hasn't really played in those. Under those circumstances.
I don't trust him. I say this all the time.
Yeah, I don't trust
I subscribe to the Polar Express theory. I got to see it before I can believe in it. And I don't want to have to see it for the first time, you know, in a big game.
In a big
late
spot.
In the year. And that's the first time he's in a moment like that. So give me a guy with a little more years under his belt that has played in some big games and knows the deal.
It's tough when you draft a guy number three overall like that because it's like, okay, if you're not going to play him, then trade him.
I know. This is the time.
It's tough.
Yeah. I get it.
It's tough.
I just think that's a bit of a tough spot. I want a more experienced backup point guard, if possible. 832 says the Rockets, they just need health next year and they'll be fine. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's obviously a big part of it. We see it every year. We saw it this year with the injuries.
Yeah. I mean,
stay healthy.
We just saw it in game seven less than a week ago.
Yeah. Got to stay healthy. All these damn Achilles.
Yeah. And that's something. It's like an Achilles epidemic.
It is. I've been saying this for a while because a bunch of my
friends. It's been happening for a while. Oh, really?
Non-athletes.
Like people you know personally.
Yeah.
Really?
Torn their Achilles in the last, like, 2 years. I don't know what is going on.
It's got to be something in the water, man.
It's weird.
Like, I don't know what's happening.
It's weird. And that's the injury. I've always said that's the injury that scares me most.
Me too.
It makes me, like, nauseous just thinking about it.
When I saw Tyrese Halliburton's calf ripple, I knew what it was right away. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
He knew what it was because he started crying.
Yeah.
Right. Banging on the floor. He knew what it was.
I fear that as you know, unathletic as I am,
but it can happen.
Absolutely.
Anybody.
Yeah, Rob says Achilles is the NBA's UCL.
Ah, man.
We'll head to break on this. You can judge if this is a good joke or a bad joke. In regards to the Texans, 713 says we need Bobby Fastwick instead of Bobby Slowick.
But I'm pumped.
Yeah. And that will take us out. Hey, which quarterback, speaking of which quarterback's under the most pressure in 2025? Where would Stroud rank on that list? We'll talk about it next at Area 45.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Which quarterbacks are under the most pressure in 2025? And where on that list does C.J. Stroud slot in? Get to that here on Area 45. The fellas are out. They filled in earlier for the drive. And so we're in tonight. Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee and you as well. 713-572-4610 on the text line to join the conversation. You can also call 713-572-4610 as well. Let's go to the phones. Mike from the West Side, Best Side's with us. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
How you doing, sir? How you doing, Mr. Luke and Mr. Partee? How you doing, sir?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I love you, man. I love your accent and everything, man. You are representing, man. You know
I appreciate
what I'm saying?
It. I appreciate it.
No, I love you, man. I love y'all, man. And the thing about it is I got a question for y'all, man. What do y'all think this running game's going to be for the Texans? You know, like, because I was listening to, I'm always plugged in and listening to Sports Radio 610. Always, always, always. And I just have a question. Y'all know more than me. I just got a question. Because they was talking about, you know, all this stuff about CJ Stroud and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, man, I'm sitting there thinking, hey, man, if you have a running staff, like Joe Mixon and I know his name. Damian, I just can't say it, but Damian, I know his name.
Damian Pierce, Nick Chubb now.
No, Nick Chubb, man, you got that one somebody. Man, you got two guys, man. You got two guys right there. Hey, man, if both of them are very capable backs and has put numbers up time and time again, we got these two boys. CJ ain't gonna have to throw for 3,000 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, and I just would like to get your opinion on that. And amen. Tell the lazy asses that I said hello.
we'll relay that message, West Side. We got you, bro.
All right, y'all be good, man.
All right. Yeah, I mean, for me, as far as when it comes down to this Texans, I guess, running back room, obviously you got Joe Mixon. He's going to get a bulk of the carries there as long as he's, you know, healthy and able to do it. I think they're going to bring Nick Chubb along slowly, honestly. I think they're going to bring him along slowly just based on, you know, the injury last season and coming back from that. I think early on, Damian Pierce will get some touches as well. We don't know what's going to happen. Was it the rookie, Woody Marks?
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure what's going to happen with him. Obviously, he'll play some special teams. He'll probably get some touches on the offense occasionally as well. But I think this running back group, I think it could be really good. I really do. But again, that's going to depend on what happens with the offensive line. Are they going to open up holes? Are they going to block consistently for them, not just for C.J. Stroud? Are they going to block consistently for the running backs? Because for the most part, it's going to be Joe Mixon. This is still Joe Mixon's job, right?
Yeah.
Nick Chubb is kind of almost like insurance.
Yeah.
Anything positive you get from Nick Chubb this year, that's a plus, really. If he's able to stay on the field majority of the season, that's a plus, right? But I don't expect him to come in and get, you know, even 10 touches a game for Nick Chubb. I just don't expect that. It's going to be an insurance role just about. That's what I expect.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't really know what to expect from Nick Chubb, but I do think it's fascinating. Maybe this is just me being an optimist. If you go back and you look, there's a pretty good history of guys that get injured and then end up switching teams and actually doing well with that new team.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at like Saquon Barkley last year. Now, I'm not saying Nick Chubb's going to go for 2,000 yards.
That's a whole different animal right there.
He's not even going to have the opportunity. But
that's the thing.
Christian McCaffrey was another recently. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a handful of guys.
But again, those are starters, though. Those are the main guy.
It's true. But maybe
he'll be number two at best.
Yeah, which might serve him well coming off the injury and such. That
I think it will.
Just give us, it's like a reliever. Just come in, instead of being, you know, turning a starter into a reliever, where it's like instead of stretching out over 100 pitches, give me one good inning where you could leave it all out there. Chubb, you're going to get 10 carries. Like, give me everything you got in those 10 carries instead of having to carry the ball sometimes 25 times, you know, put the Browns on your back. I think, again, me just being optimistic, I think the run game is going to be better this year. I think Bobby Slowick, ironically, just didn't grasp the run game with what he was trying to do, despite coming from Kyle Shanahan. And so I think it'll be better this year. We played the audio when we were together last week of Jarrett Patterson saying, like, hey, when we were able to run the football in the playoffs, that was because of Cole Popovich.
Yep.
So I think Cole Popovich helping with that offensive line, you know, that's going to help. And I think they brought in offensive linemen. Titus Howard has said this, that, you know, we're going to be more physical. And they're going to put him in a position where he can be more physical. So I just think the setup, they're putting a lot of effort this offseason into reshaping that running game. Whether it's the people in charge or the type of offensive lineman they're going to use, even like bring in Trent Brown. So I do, and then, then you throw in Nick Chubb. So I think it's going to be better this year. I don't know how good, but I am being optimistic that I think the run game will be improved in 2025.
I think physicality is part of the reason why in the past they've gotten in trouble against a team like the Ravens, because the Ravens, their defense in front is always going to be physical. So if you can't meet that same level of physicality, you're going to be in trouble. And I think that's what's gotten the Texans, you know, kind of behind the ball there just about every time against the Ravens lately, the past however many years.
Yeah.
Because the Ravens are always physical. Offense, defense, they're always physical. Doesn't matter. Who's there. So
it's true.
But, you know, I do see, again, I'm with you on the running game. game having the potential to be even better this year.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I don't know if it's going to. I'm not telling you it's going to be a top five running game, but I do think it'll be improved from a year ago. With that said, when it comes to quarterbacks, where do you think Stroud ranks in terms of quarterbacks with the most pressure? Maybe you don't think Stroud has very much pressure. I don't know. But where would you put Stroud, just kind of a back-of-the-envelope type of thing, in terms of quarterbacks that have the most pressure on them this upcoming season? Is Stroud towards the top? Do you think there's many quarterbacks ahead of him?
For me, I'm not putting him towards the top. Yeah, I mean, of course you want him to play. You want him to cut back down on the turnovers, on the interceptions. That went up from year one, right? Last year, that went up from year one.
Yep.
Which he had an all-time great rookie campaign.
Yeah.
Year two, not so much. But even if you look at a lot of his stats, now obviously, I felt like it was one of those cases where you really had to watch him to see like what was really going on there. And all the blame is not on him, but I think there's probably quite a few other quarterbacks with more pressure on them coming into this season. I really do. I don't even know if I would place him in the top five.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I would place him in the top five. Just for me personally.
Yeah. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head. I feel like he would be towards the top of the list for me. For me, I look at guys that have like the most to lose. So I would actually put Stroud ahead of like a Bryce Young, people point to as a lot of pressure. I think Stroud actually has more to lose because he already showed a higher ceiling. Bryce Young, we already kind of wrote off. You know, anything at this point is just kind of gravy for Bryce Young. We're already done with Bryce Young.
We're already done after, what, 2-3 years for him?
Yeah.
2 years, whatever it was.
Todd, the show says CJ's a top 20-ish quarterback maybe. I don't know if you're talking about pressure or just skill set in general.
Yeah, clarify that for us.
Yeah, because pressure, I would say he's much higher. You know, like Tua is a guy that I think has more pressure.
I was going to say, I would say Tua has more pressure.
I think Anthony Richardson has more pressure.
He's got a lot of pressure on him.
Because he could be like out of the league.
I think he has a lot of pressure. He might not even start there initially.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's got this injury. So he thinks he'll be able to throw for training camp.
Yeah, so of course there's pressure on him.
I think I'd say J.J. McCarthy has more pressure because you just won 14 games with Sam Darnold. And you were a first-round draft pick, supposed to be like the next franchise guy. Big shoes. I know it's Sam Darnold, but still, big shoes to fill with a lot of weapons on offense. He's stepping into a good situation.
That might be, and I know life is unfair sometimes, but that might be unfair pressure because he's just kind of stepping into that because he didn't choose to get hurt last season.
Right.
Otherwise, he probably, you know, he could have been the quarterback then. We don't know because there was talk of that before he got hurt. So, but if you want to put him ahead of CJ, I'm fine with that.
I think even a Sam Darnold because, you know, to try to prove yourself. But I don't know if he has more pressure than a Stroud.
Is he in Seattle
now?
Yeah. You going to Seattle? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he got his contract. He's got a little bit of a longer leash. Because that's the whole thing with Stroud is, you know, he's trying to get to that payday still.
Oh, of course.
So he's still got a little more to prove. You know, Darnold's made his money at least.
He did get paid, man. He had a nice payday, too. What you got there?
Todd clarified. He said, sorry, I missed the topic. My kids are being loud. No problem. He said CJ definitely has the most pressure this year.
Out of anybody?
Last season. I guess so.
I wouldn't say not the most. I wouldn't say the most.
I would put him top five, Stroud, because then...
You just named, what, four guys?
Yeah, three. But I wouldn't put... I would put Tua ahead of him. I'd put Anthony Richardson ahead of him.
Now, are we just talking young quarterbacks?
No, all. But I think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have a lot of pressure on them, but that's specifically in the playoffs. It's almost like a different... you know, it's a different thing.
Yeah, Josh Allen playoffs, and who else did you say?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, I would say playoffs. Not because regular season for those guys, they got that wrapped up.
Yes.
They're going to be in the MVP talk once again. Top two, three, whatever it is with those guys. So it's definitely playoffs for them. Would you say there's a lot of pressure on a Russell Wilson in New York?
No.
To show that he still has something?
No, because I just don't think there's a lot to lose at this point. Like he's at the end of the line.
Yeah, that's it. So
he's
same with
bounced around the last 2 years.
So same with Aaron Rodgers.
Same thing with Rodgers.
Same thing.
Yeah, like I don't think he has a lot to gain or lose this year. It's probably going to be his final season anyways. Is he really going to change your thought on him?
Okay, what about, probably the same boat, Jameis Winston. He's also in New York.
Yeah, no, same.
Same?
I think he's playing with house money at this point.
So we're mostly looking at younger guys then.
Yeah, because most of the, you know, the older guys are more established. I will say one that I thought of, Justin Herbert, because he's a little bit longer in his career. I think he probably has more pressure, especially we saw how the playoffs went last year when Stroud and Herbert went up against each other.
Yeah.
I think Herbert still has a lot to prove. He's one of those funny guys.
I'm a big Herbert guy, too.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, so when I was in Portland, I actually got to cover some of the Oregon Ducks.
Uh-huh.
When I was doing radio out there. Yeah. So I just, you know, I like him. I like the guy.
But at a certain point, potential needs to turn into reality. Like, people
That's
always
true.
Talk about the skill set, and they always say Herbert's a top 10 quarterback, a top 5 quarterback. Then you look at the numbers, and it's like, you know, hasn't won a playoff game, choked the 30-point lead.
Was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, against the Jags?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this
that
year,
was rough.
With Harbaugh, high expectations, and they took the ball out of his hands, which is what Harbaugh does.
But I was going to say,
And then he plays terrible. What a terrible playoff game he had.
Under Harbaugh, he's not going to get all the opportunities some of these other guys get to just fling the ball around, because that's not Harbaugh's MO with his quarterbacks.
No, right.
He's not going to be out there throwing the ball 50 times a game. Like we've seen some guys do, which I just think is absurd. For some, now, occasionally, there aren't. I don't have a problem with a Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball 50 times occasionally, right? I don't have a problem with that. Certain guys, I'm fine with it if they do it 2, 3, 4 times a year. But to just have a guy like Dak Prescott have a game where he throws 55 passes, I'm not okay with that. Some guys, I don't want them throwing that much. That's just too much for some guys.
I'm with it. Twitch says if CJ has a bad year, he'll go into Trevor Lawrence territory. Trevor Lawrence is another one I forgot. Trevor Lawrence is up there, too. I think Trevor Lawrence
has a bad year,
more
though? Like, what are we saying a bad year
too.
Is? If they only win 7 games, are we just going to say that's a bad? Like, what are we saying is a bad year?
I think it's more about him. Even if the team doesn't have a good year, if Stroud looks the part, I think you can still feel confident and comfortable with him moving forward.
Because Trevor Lawrence has really plummeted.
Yes.
I was a big Lawrence guy, and I finally had to admit last season, like, yeah, he just ain't it.
Yeah, I know.
He just ain't it.
How would you say the first name of this guy that was just drafted?
Bogolube? Is that...
What? Bogolube? What is this, a discount?
Man,
at,
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, exactly.
At the
Jiffy Lube. Bogolube.
Buy one, get one free?
I have no idea how to say my man's name.
Lube? Bogolube?
No idea.
Markovic from Serbia was just drafted by the Bucks.
Yeah, we'll say his last
number
name.
Number 47 overall.
No idea.
As night two of the draft goes on.
And we probably won't see him for 2 years.
Yeah.
We won't see this guy for 2 years. And it probably won't be with the Bucks once we see him.
Yeah, right.
It'll be somewhere else. It'll be in New York.
And this might not even be the Bucks pick for all we know. Yeah. Who knows?
It's probably
not. We have
not.
No idea.
Most of these picks have been swapped and traded and all these other things.
Yeah. The NBA draft is like a David Blaine performance. You don't know what you're seeing. You don't know what to trust. You don't know what's real, what's not real, what's reality, what's going on.
But it's entertaining.
But it's entertaining.
It can be entertaining, though.
And
and there is, what's her name you were talking about that covers all the basketball?
Yeah, Monica McNutt.
Monica McNutt, yeah.
It's also like a magic show where there's always like beautiful women around and all, you know, it's just as the sideshow.
It's all an illusion.
Yeah. That's the NBA draft. Hey, which Astros are already gone? Which current Astros are already gone from Houston? We can just rip the Band-Aid off now. We'll talk about it next. It's Area 45.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Which Astro players are already gone from this current team? We'll talk about it here on Area 45. The fellas are out for the night. They filled in on the drive earlier today. Got an earlier exit, which I'm sure is always appreciated for those guys. So here we are tonight. Happy to be here. Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee and you as well. 713-572-4610 on the text line. 713-572-4610. It's also the number to call. We were talking about quarterbacks with the most pressure on them in the NFL. Let's go to the phone lines because Ken is with us on that topic. Ken, what's going on? How are you?
What up, Ken?
Hey, thanks for taking me in there. After the Super Bowl, there was a stat that Patrick Mahomes, that Eagles defensive line, he was under pressure. I think it was like 48% of his dropbacks. And it was like just under what CJ faced all season.
Mm.
So you were talking about, you know, the pressure on him to succeed. But if if he's getting that kind of pressure this year, there's, you know, he's a sitting duck. So the only thing I was thinking was the new offensive coordinator, you know, letting him take control of calling plays, and he can, you know, if he's only got 2 seconds, then he can hit the he can hit Noel, you know, in the so. The other thing, Jake Myers is who I would pick to be the first one to go.
Oh, wow. You're not sold on Jake Myers.
And it's not I'm not sold on him, but he's having the best year of his career. And I don't know if he's going to maintain that. So that might be what their way of thinking also. So,
yeah, makes sense. Sell while the stock is
selling while he's selling while he's hot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Ken, appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening. I think that also means not being sold on him, though, right? If you want to get rid of him, you don't believe in the success you've seen so far this year. That's interesting. That doesn't exactly go along with the – that's not the direction we're going to take the question, but that's a good question, too, of which one of these Astros would you be willing to part with or would you want to see leave? Real quick on the C.J. Stroud thing, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the offensive line is a whole linchpin to this thing.
Of course.
It was Warren Sharp had it. I don't know how they come up with these ratings, but they rated the all the offensive coordinators last year, and they rated them both in their success calling run plays and pass plays, mm-hmm. and then a total number.
And who was this by?
I think it was Warren Sharp.
Okay.
Of Sharp Analytics or whatever. And Bobby Slowick was dead last in all three.
Really?
In the calling a run game, calling a pass game, and then overall, he was like a point. 9, I think, on a scale of, I think, like 100. He got like 1%.
Well, I believe
out of 100.
I believe the result bears that out because he's no longer here.
Yeah. So it might just be addition by subtraction this year that will help Stroud out.
It could be.
In regards to the Astros, maybe you don't want to see Jake Myers on this roster much longer. Maybe you hope they flip him for an asset at the deadline and get something for him while, you know, the stock is at its highest. But I was thinking more of guys that are on the team right now that might not be on the team for all that long. And this, of course, comes from the whole Jeremy Pena story. Let me pat myself on the back because no one else will. I remember I was in with Ron on the drive a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now at this point, and I brought it up that is Jeremy Pena playing himself out of Houston? Because we've seen the Astros balk at the idea of paying some of their stars big contracts. And the way Pena's playing, he's playing his way into one of those big contracts, and then sure enough, fast forward a few weeks,
man,
and now he's hired Scott Boras, and it just feels like the days are now numbered for Jeremy Pena, unfortunately, in an Astros uniform.
You know what Scott Boras means. He coming for that dough.
He's going to try to squeeze all the juice out of that fruit.
All of it. Man, you might be right. Luke, you might be right. He might be the one.
Well, according to reports, the Astros offered 105 for 5 years, $105 million for 5 years, so that's $21 million a year. Sounds like a good contract. It would make him the 9th highest paid shortstop currently, so maybe not as good as it sounds. Shortstops are one of the higher paid positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Athletic, I think probably Chandler Rome had a story about Carlos Correa has worked with Jeremy Pena and telling him, you know, turning him into the superstar and giving him the confidence. And I'm sure Correa, who also, you know, wanted that payday, probably also told him, like, nah, 21 mil, not enough. Hire that Boras guy and try to get as much as you can.
Boras is going to go for the gusto, man. For real. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Yeah. We're not talking Ryan Gusto.
No, we're not. Not at all.
Rob says, is Scott Boras scary anymore? He's had a rough few years by his standards, hasn't he? He has.
A little bit,
he's botched a few contracts for his clients. But with that said, he's scary in the sense that he's going to hold out. Like he has not gotten his players the best contracts lately, but he has gotten them on other teams because maybe he just burns that. He's trying to get as much money as he can, and he prices out a lot of teams. So I think he's scary in that aspect that he's going to ask for the sun and the moon, and the Astros aren't going to do that. And then, you know, you get too far down the road, kind of like with Bregman, and it's like, you know,
he's going
to
make you sweat it out.
Right, and we're washing our hands. We're done with this. We're not going any higher. Go find a better deal somewhere else. And eventually Bregman did.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys
got his
always,
money, though. Got some money, though.
He did. And guys don't always. You know, Matt Chapman's the famous case that he screwed up. Blake Snell is another one he screwed up. But those guys also left their teams. You know, he kind of burns that bridge with the team they're on. So,
Scott Boras will go scorched earth in a second. He don't care.
No.
He knows he's going to get you the money somewhere else.
So that's the concern, that for Pena, and he has two more years left on his contract after, but maybe it's a Kyle Tucker situation and you try to move him after next year and get something for him. And
just get ahead of it. Get ahead of the situation.
Yeah, which is sad to say. But I don't know. I don't know if he's a long-term Astro anymore.
That's why you got
to
go win that title this year, man.
Yeah.
Because you might not have him.
And the other
much
one,
longer.
I would say, too, is Fromber, I think,
ooh,
has pitched
don't
himself.
Say Fromber.
I think he's pitched himself out of Houston as well.
You're going to cause an accident on the road out here. Don't say Fromber.
I don't think the Astros will be able to pony up the money he's going to try to demand.
Mm.
I think both of them are gone. And honestly, I would even worry about Hunter Brown. I think Hunter Brown's young enough, and he's been so good this year that the Astros will do what they have to keep him. But he's another one that the way he is pitching, like really the best pitcher in baseball, he is going to command a huge payday. And the Astros, obviously, they gave Yordan a contract. Like it's not like they won't pay
There's
anybody.
Certain guys.
Yeah.
There's going to be certain. There's always going to be certain guys. But one thing you can say about the Astros is they seem to, within this, during this run they've been on the past decade, I guess you could say now just about, they always find a way to retool and get through, even when they let guys go. So that is one thing you can kind of rest your hat on with the Astros.
On Twitch, I know everyone thinks Fromber won't get extended, but I think he does.
There you go.
Maybe you're right. Hopefully you're
only
right.
Only time will tell.
The right price.
Right.
What if Jeremy Pena hired Boris this early because he wants the Astros to buy out arbitration years? Maybe. I feel like that he could have done that without Boris. If they're already talking about a 5-year contract, $105 million.
Yeah.
You know, you're at the negotiation table. You're talking about that's a good enough deal. But whenever the guy switches to Scott Boris, I feel like they just have bigger things in mind.
Of course. And that's usually what that is. More they have bigger thoughts coming in.
Yeah, so I think Pena eventually will be gone, of course. I think Fromber's gone. And like I said,
so
I still
do
worry
think
about
Fromber's
him.
Gone. Like you
I do.
So him and Pena.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, Fromber after this year, Pena maybe after next.
And you're on the fence with Brown?
I am. I would like to think the Astros will do what it takes to keep him because it's hard to find a young ace.
Yeah.
And he's just pitched. He has the best ERA in baseball over the last 12 months, dating back to the second half of last season. He's been nails.
Phenomenal.
But I guess I just have a little PTSD. I'm a little once bitten, twice shy right now where... Didn't want to pay for Kyle Tucker. I get not wanting to pay for Bregman, but you know they don't want to break the bank for such a great clubhouse guy and a guy that has meant so much to that team. And they stayed firm with saying, "Nah, you know we're not going to go there with you, even though you're Alex Bregman, and it's a shame to see you leave, and you're a fan forever." Yada yada yada. Like we're not going to extend ourselves.
But I mean, you as a fan, especially as a fan, you would just hope that they got rid of a couple positional players. We as great as they were. We get it. You got to hope they would keep that ace. Just pay him.
You
got to hope that they would keep
more,
that ace.
Yeah, that's more important. It's harder to find.
Definitely.
Time will tell. But I do think, unfortunately, this might signal the end for. I was already worried about paying him before Scott Boris.
Before, yeah.
I thought his price tag was going way too high that the Astros are like, we're not going to do that. Go somewhere else. We'll replace you, you know, a la Carlos Correa, whatever else. But now with Boris, it makes it even tougher. Hey, coming up, the fellas might not be here, but it's still time for Hot Leads. We do it next. It's Area 45.